This hour of First Up, powered by Manscaped. Thanks to Leo Routens for his very succinct thoughts on Canada basketball. Unfortunately, I don't know what's going on. But very interesting time in Canada hoops, and really looking forward to seeing how everything progresses as the weeks and months play out. Only 6 weeks till that game in Hamilton. Actually, maybe a little bit more. But that's going to be really cool against the Dominican Republic, and you'll see the full complement of everything that Canada basketball has to offer, minus Andrew Wiggins and Chris Boucher and probably Tristan Thompson as well. You posted a very controversial poll question, my friend, on your Twitter account, at Carlo Koliakovo. What was it, and what are the results so far?
Well, it's a pretty lopsided result. My Koliakovo today: if you're starting an NHL franchise today, which player are you choosing to start it with? Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, Nathan MacKinnon, or other? And 77% say Connor McDavid. And this is really weird how this is so one-sided, considering most of my interactions on my tweets are from Leaf fans. And to think that Austin Matthews only has 18% of that vote, when 2 months ago there was a lot of people saying that Connor McDavid, or that Austin Matthews, is the best player in the game of hockey, including myself.
He's going to win the Hart Trophy, Matthews.
Right.
So
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. I'm just surprised to see, is that recency bias that people are just all over McDavid right now? It's possible. I mean, some of the other ones that people wrote in are Andrei Vasilevskiy, and that's a legitimate guy to start your organization with if you got the best goalie in the game that can basically save everything that is thrown at him. But Connor McDavid, man, he's definitely winning over a lot of people right now that maybe might have doubted. And I don't know if it's just more of Connor McDavid fatigue that people were saying about the Hart Trophy, that he's just a guy that you know every year is going to be in contention, but maybe they just like giving it to the guy that probably deserves it more in that year because of the year that he has it, or the year there because of the year he's having. But I think that's what makes Connor McDavid so great, and what makes him undoubtedly the best player of all time, according to the Quizmaster, Steve Dryden, in the article they wrote on TSN.ca, is McDavid's doing this consistently every year. And now we're just seeing it at a level we haven't seen any before, because he's doing it in the playoffs.
Yeah, and he's had an incredible postseason, 25 points in 11 games. He has 7 straight multi-point games, had 2 assists last night. The all-time record in the playoffs is 8, set by Wayne Gretzky in 1983. So that's what McDavid will be going for on Thursday night, when the Battle of Alberta resumes in Calgary for Game 5. And would you bet against it? I mean, obviously not. McDavid's over-under on points is heavily shaded to the over of 1.5 now. I think it might even be set at 2 on FanDuel, and rightfully so. I mean, 7 straight multi-point games in the postseason. He could have had a bunch of points last night if it wasn't for, you know, some bad bounces, and he had that assist on the Zach Hyman goal to kick off the scoring for Edmonton. He had the assist on Evander Kane's second goal of the game to end the scoring for Edmonton into the empty net. So McDavid is patently absurd right now. We know that. And a guy who was there in attendance in Edmonton, Brian Boucher, calling the game for ESPN alongside Bob Wischus, and will join us in just a moment. But it's not just McDavid producing, and he's the catalyst. I get it. But Evander Kane's got 12 goals in 11 games this postseason. Leon Draisaitl's got 3 or more points in 4 straight games, something nobody has ever done. That top line is taking it to Gaudreau and Tkachuk and Lindholm to degrees that I didn't expect were possible. I knew Edmonton's top line was better. I thought they were hotter coming in, and I mean, Gaudreau had that OT winner in Game 7 for Calgary against Dallas, scoring that weird angle goal over Jake Oettinger's shoulder, but they've been summarily dominated by Edmonton. And I mean, I don't know there's any line in the history of the sport that could keep up with McDavid and Draisaitl and and Evander Kane right now. But what they're doing night after night is amazing. It really is.
Well, just think of how this series changed. It was Calgary in game one just completely dominating the Edmonton Oilers and really, you know, putting them behind, you know, the eight ball with the way they onslaughted Mike Smith and their defense and overwhelmed them. A 9-6 victory. I mean, credit for Edmonton for coming back into that game. But game two, Calgary got off to a really early start again. Up 2-0 early in that game, less than a minute in, I believe. Or sorry, it was more than that. I'm not sure the exact minutes. But then it was quickly 3-1 early in the second period. And that's when Connor McDavid took over. Remember that goal they disallowed on Connor McDavid because of goalie interference? And a minute later, he just takes over on his own and goes in and scores, makes it 3-2. And next thing you know, it starts the Edmonton comeback. And Edmonton just hasn't looked back from there. And Calgary's had no answer. They've had zero answers.
Let's head to Edmonton now. Maybe perhaps at the airport. A man who's been covering this series for ESPN, one of their analysts, longtime NHL goaltender and friend of the program, Brian Boucher, back
over. Boosh!
What's up, Brian? How are you?
Good morning, guys. No, not at the airport. I'm driving this series, just up and down Highway 2.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Old school.
That is old school. I like that. I like
now
that.
Now, you're not driving. You have a driver, right?
Bob with shoes and drives you, Ron. Is that right?
Yeah, Ron, driving myself. Got my own rental car. Yeah. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to get in the car, you know, listen to some tunes and be in my own space. So, yeah, just driving down. We'll get down there at some point today. I don't know what time I'll leave. Maybe a little earlier now that I'm up a little early talking to you guys. But
nice.
Good to be with you. How you guys doing?
Well, we really appreciate you joining us, and maybe you can help us, understand what this year's version of the Battle of Alberta has really been. I mean, we've listened to people, including Jamie McLennan on Overdrive, talk about. You know, he was in game two in Calgary and then game three in Edmonton and just the incredible energy in both places that he felt with the fan bases and with the rivalry and stuff like that. Have you sensed the same feeling of emotions and energy, you know, in the games that you've covered so far and what really is the 2022 Battle of Alberta?
Yeah, I think it's been awesome, to be honest with you. And look, I mean, I'm an American guy working for an American broadcast team that's covering a series that I think means a lot to Western Canadian people, you know, these Albertan people that, you know, this is something that they've been waiting a long time to happen again. And, you know, sometimes I think as Americans we can miss the mark on what's important to people here in Canada. It's important to the game is important to your country. It's important to the people of Alberta. But I'm enjoying every minute of it. It's not the war that perhaps we would have seen 30 plus years ago, but the energy that's between these two cities and these fan bases, it is. It's awesome. It's awesome to be a part of. And I'm sure the true hockey fan in the States is really enjoying it as well. I mean, most people in the States probably are not fans of the Flames or the Oilers, but the fact that they're tuning in and watching this series, you could say it's probably been the best series so far. I mean, I think the Avalanche and Blue series has been full of twists and turns and, you know, subplots, obviously, but as far as just watching, pure greatness. I think we're getting it in this series with the way that McDavid and Draisaitl and Kane have played. And obviously, the fact that the Flames and Oilers got here in dramatic fashion makes it even better. But it's been a lot of fun to be a part of it. I think, although the Oilers have a 3-1 lead in this series, I get the sense that the Flames are going to go back home to Calgary and and find a way to extend the series. I don't think we've seen the last of them. I'm just, you know, whatever's been thrown at us here in the first, you know, four games, I think there's more crazy stuff to happen. So looking forward to game five.
Brian Boucher is our guest who's calling Flames and Oilers for ESPN, a longtime NHL goaltender. Brian, you played on some great teams throughout your career. You played against some great players. Put into perspective what you're seeing from McDavid and Draisaitl and Kane night after night. That line has been as good as we've seen in recent memory. What have your impressions been from watching these guys live?
Well, I mean, I don't. It's hard to describe what they're doing. I mean, McDavid plays on a level that, you know, it's like when you're a kid and you haven't quite hit puberty yet, you know, and you're playing against a guy that's, you know, got a full beard and, you know, he just dominates you at the age of 13 years old. I feel like that's what you're dealing with, you know, at a professional level. When you're watching Connor McDavid, I mean, and you don't see that at pro hockey ever. Like, it doesn't ever happen. I think the last time we saw it was with Gretzky and Mario Lemieux, and the way he takes over a game is just, it's something to watch. And I think what stood out to me about the way McDavid has led his team is it's not just, we know he's got great speed and he's got great hands and all of that, but now it's about, like, you know, he's engaged in the game. He's not only taking hits, but he's giving hits. He's blocking shots. His 200-foot game has been there, and it's noticeable. It's not just a one-off. I mean, it's been almost every single game that he's done it. So it's unreal. I mean, the point total, that he had 2 points last night, and I actually thought it was – I was talking to Bob Beschusen last night, my play-by-play guy. We're talking about it after. I said, boy, it actually felt like McDavid was a little quiet tonight. Like, he wasn't the same type of player, yet he walks out of there with 2 points. That's just the way he's playing, you know. And maybe it speaks to how great he was in some of those other games where he just was so amazing. But it's fun to watch. I mean, and now that I'm not playing anymore and I'm not in goal, I'm all for goal scoring and I'm all for the excitement. Back when I was playing, I would have said, you know what, let's shut this guy down and make sure the games are 1-0. But as a fan of the game, it's hard not to just really love to see what he's doing.
Well, speaking of a fan of the game, Boosh, I was talking earlier, just envisioning what a conference finals would look like if, you know, the series went a certain way. And I'm not jumping to conclusion because I know none of the series are over except for Tampa, who swept Florida. But could you imagine the conference finals that featured the headlines McDavid versus MacKinnon and Vasilevskiy versus Shesterkin?
Mm. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, you talk about the matchups of top lines for Colorado versus, you know, Edmonton. It's, you know, two guys that I think a lot of people would have had debates about this a lot. Like, hey, who would you rather take? Would you rather have MacKinnon or would you rather have McDavid, right? And you can have these, you know, debates with buddies over a beer all day long. Well, you know, I think there's a chance we may get to see it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then you're right about the goaltending. Two of the best goaltenders in the game. And, you know, with Vasilevskiy, you know, I'm starting to think, like, is this guy the best goalie we've ever seen ever?
Like
that,
yeah,
that's where my mind. That's where my mind is starting to go. I mean, I was a huge Patrick Waugh fan growing up. Like, Patrick was everything, right? And Dominik Hasek, I had such great respect for, and he changed the way we think about goaltending statistics. But I don't think I've ever seen a guy. I know I haven't. I've never seen a guy like Andre Vasilevskiy ever. I mean, the size that he's got, great size, great athleticism. And he's proving to be perhaps the most clutch goaltender we've ever seen. I mean, 6 shutouts in 7 clinching games.
Unbelievable.
199 saves and 200 shots. I mean, it's just, it's out of control what he's doing.
One of my favorite teams in my lifetime, Brian, were a team you were a part of in 2010, the Philadelphia Flyers, who were down 3-0 to the Boston Bruins in the second round, a series in which you were injured in, unfortunately. You guys storm back, you get to Game 7, you're down 3-0 in Game 7, you win the series, you go all the way to the Cup Final. Think about all the great players that were part of that team. Now, St. Louis is facing a 3-1 deficit, so is Calgary. Reflecting back on your own memories and your experiences coming back from insurmountable odds, what advice would you give those two teams who are down pretty in pretty deep holes at this point?
Well, you just got to win one game. I think that's the key. And you win one, and you plant the seed of doubt, perhaps in the opponent. And you just want to get it back to in the case of Edmonton and Calgary series, you want to get it back to Edmonton. And then I think, the pressure goes on the home team in Game 6, where, now they got to try and wrap it up on home ice because they don't want to go back to Calgary for Game 7. So that's what you're looking to do, win one game. And I think, for Daryl Sutter, he told us that yesterday. He's like, look, we just have to win a road game today. That's our only focus. And they didn't do it. Although in the loss, I feel like I left the game saying, I think Calgary did some good things in this game. And as I mentioned, it wasn't like the McDavid show all night long and they had no answer. And Markstrom, I know Markstrom made a mistake on the first goal. It happened. But they battled back. They showed some resilience. Their power play scored. I thought they kind of made some strides and made me believe that there's a chance. Now, if you go and win that game 5 and do it, convincingly, would be great. But even if not, you win the game, you give yourself a chance. And I think that's where your mindset has to be. But we'll see. I mean, this series, I can't speak for Colorado and St. Louis, but this series has been one that I thought going into it, Calgary had the clear advantage in several areas aside from McDavid and what he's been able to do. But now that we've kind of, after game 2, everything kind of flipped, and it's just been so unpredictable at times that it's hard to put your finger on it, which has made it really exciting.
Bush, I know I teased what the conference finals could look like if the series went a certain way, but looking at the Carolina Rangers series, Rangers evened it up with a big win yesterday. It's a series that's been dominated by, teams on home ice, but do you give an edge in a best 2 out of 3 on one of those two teams right now?
Well, if, Carol, and I'll be honest with you, because that series is before us, I haven't watched it intently, just kind of casually, as we get ready for our game. I mean, the fact that Carolina hasn't lost on home ice, that's a positive thing, but at some point something has to give, right? And it puts pressure on a group if that narrative is just like, oh, we can only win on home ice. Well, what if you don't win one of them? Then you're in trouble, So I don't know. I haven't watched enough of that series to, to really understand what's going on. I've always been concerned about Antti Raanta. I mean, that's just me personally. It looks like he's played very well, but I sure wish if I was the Canes, we had Freddie Anderson to really know what's going on. Can he do it? Sure, he can do it. I mean, I think there's always, I was part of situations when I played where I'm sure people didn't believe in me or my play, and yet I was able to win some series. We'll see. I mean, I Carolina was my pick to come out of the East before the playoffs started. I felt like they're a good team, but this is before what Tampa. I'll say that it's before Tampa did what they did to the Florida Panthers. And I've since changed my tune a little bit, but I think there's a lot of pressure on Carolina just because they haven't won on the road yet, and I think that can get in your head. And what God forbid you don't win one of those home games. The Rangers could be in a real good spot here.
There's a lot of talk about, what the Tampa Bay Lightning could potentially accomplish. I believe they've won, 12 series in a row in this streak that they're on. They're 17-0 after coming off of a loss in the playoffs in the last 3 years. The Vasilevskiy numbers speak for themselves. Do you think that they have the potential to do a three-peat and be the dynasty that most people want to see them put themselves in the conversation for?
I believe it now. Like I said, I wouldn't have said it before the playoffs. I thought, no way in this day and age can we see that. Like, it's just the teams are too good. I don't want to disrespect any of the other dynasties that won. And I don't know if we can consider Chicago in there because they didn't do three in a row. But, you know, like teams like the Islanders and the Oilers, it was such a different time back then. Mm. I feel like there was, you know, it was, you had some good teams. Don't get me wrong. But again, I think you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
It's just different today. You know, the parity now is greater now. I feel like this year there was a bit of a drop off after team, I don't know, maybe you could say team 16. I feel like there was a bottom half of the league during the regular season that wasn't as strong as others. But once you get inside the playoffs, anybody can beat anybody. And what Tampa did to Florida makes me believe that it can happen because they do have the best goaltender that I've ever seen play. And he's proving it at the most crucial time. And although he's not a Vezina Trophy finalist, you can't convince me that he's not the best goal in the NHL, period. So, yeah, it can be done. And you know, you're seeing guys just step up and play a game like Kucherov's elevated. And, you know, a guy like Stamkos, who's had so much adversity in his career with injuries and stuff, he seems to be healthy and playing with great jumps. So, and again, Brisebois did a great job of getting guys that seem to come in and help out, although they have to turn the page on some people and make some hard decisions. They continually find players that do a good job for them. Credit to their pro scouting staff and everybody in that organization. They all seem to rise to a level that other teams don't. And yeah, they could do it. Who knows? I mean, you know, I think the hope is that the two teams that end up being out west just beat each other so much that they run out of gas, and maybe this sweep that the Lightning just had will give them a little bit of rest that they need that'll help them in the long run.
Well, if you don't run out of gas on your trip to Calgary up on Highway 2, thank you for getting up so early for us. What type of tunes are you going to be playing in the rental car on the way to Calgary today, Brian?
Yeah, I just got a playlist there that I put together there. It's a mixture of 80s, 90s, you know, stuff that I like to put in there.
Classic rock? Stuff.
Yeah, some classic
rock.
Yeah,
buddy. That's me and Boosh, man. That's Blue it. Ice. That's our style.
Two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. Love that old classic rock. Love
yeah, it. The Brian Boucher Spotify playlist. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
I couldn't tell you any of the new artists these days. I just simply go to all the old stuff. I like to, if I'm listening to a song, I want to be able to sing along. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want a song that I have no idea what the words are. So, you know.
You're not a fan of Jack Harlow, is what you're saying, Brian?
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, you and Carlo the same. He's like probably the most popular artist on the planet.
Is that a guy on the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, Jack Harlow?
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh,
Johnny Depp,
okay.
Who is in the news as well these days for different reasons.
Yeah.
Brian, thanks so much for getting up early for us. You and Bob are doing a great job on ESPN, and I would love to have you back on down the road. All right, thanks, man.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Boosh.
Brian Boucher. And I asked him for the 2010 Flyers. My favorite team ever. They really are. You think about, remember Michael Layton relieved Brian when he got injured.
Layton to the cup.
He was incredible. They had Pronger. They had Claude Giroux and Simone Gagné. Mike Richards was the captain. Jeff Carter. Oh, I loved that team. They were so good. So fun to watch. Shame that they never came together, won a cup, that Flyers team. Very much a shame. Unfortunately, the Nail Gun, unable to join us. Perhaps some pressing CFL CBA news has emerged.
Oh,
I don't know. None of my sources are getting back to me. Yeah, I don't think the studio audience is that intrigued by CFL CBA news. Hopefully, the league is ready to rock. I know the week one of the preseason was supposed to begin this week, and week one of the actual CFL season just a couple weeks away.
So speaking of football, and I don't want to take away the attention of the CFL because You get me excited for the CFL when the CFL season starts. So I really, really hope they find a way to come to their senses and start the season on time. But have you paid attention at all to this USFL that's going on right now that's being played?
Just like the guys from Covers who tweet out their picks, I tail them, but I don't really pay attention.
How do they do?
Yeah, of course they do well. They work for Covers. Of course they're winning money.
Okay, good.
But
to me, what I just can't get over is, you know, sometimes I scroll or, you know, see the game on TV or see highlights and stuff like that. Why are they playing in front of no fans?
Probably because no one wants to go and see the USFL.
Literally, they play in like an 80,000-seat stadium with zero fans.
Like, actually, like, nobody?
Zero fans. Huh. And maybe there's a couple family members of the players in the stands. I don't know how this league works. I don't. To me, like, you're seeing teams like Pittsburgh and Michigan and New Orleans. You're seeing some teams with like from big cities. And I'm thinking to myself, why have they committed to playing these big city stadiums? Why can't they go to like a high school stadium that has 4,000 seats in it and at least get fans into the stands?
Your guess is as good as mine, my friend. I do not know the answer. It's probably because the USFL, it's going to be a one and done. Like, they're not doing a second year of this, are they? Like,
well, it's hard to think because the XFL is coming back
that's
next
right.
year, right?
That's right.
And maybe they just signed a lucrative deal with ESPN and I think ABC to have the broadcasting rights to that, and obviously spearheaded by The Rock, you know, leading the way on that. Look, the XFL, before COVID hit,
I was kind of
buying into the buzz of it, man. I mean, remember the St. Louis, what was their names? Hawks.
There was the Vipers, right?
The Tampa Bay Vipers, of course. But the St. Louis team was playing out of the old St. Louis Rams Stadium. It was packed.
Yeah.
For the XFL, it was like one of the best crowds to see.
Our USFL insider here at 10, Christopher Diavero, reports that all the games are in Alabama, so there are no home teams. No one in Alabama interested in watching a team from New York or whatever city.
Really? So it's a league. Knows. It's a league basically based out of one city?
I mean, it's Birmingham, Alabama. I'm not really sure, but that makes more sense. And again, 20 Fingers, he's coming for Dave Naylor's TSN football insidership. Farhan Lalji, look out. Chris Diavero is coming for you.
All right.
I'm not so sure how concerning it would be, but in any case, speaking of insiders, Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider, was fantastic this morning, talking about the Blue Jays, who did score 8 runs last night.
Bang!
We know the pervasive struggles that this offense has faced. Buster's got the buzz around Major League Baseball about what the Jays might do in that respect. And the all of a sudden, New York Yankees, who are much maligned with injuries top to bottom. Buster Olney coming up next. My FanDuel best bets coming your way in about 10 minutes. But before we get to those, we spoke to Buster Olney, ESPN MLB insider, earlier in the program about the Toronto Blue Jays, who did put up 8 runs last night against St. Louis. We saw Vladdy Jr. go deep. We saw Danny Jansen go deep twice. The Jays get 12 hits in total. That's a good sign. But we know the struggles of the bats. And that's where we began with Buster on the struggles of the bats and where the Jays rank amongst the most disappointing offenses in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think the Detroit Tigers, for me, probably would be number one in terms of where they are. They basically have a winning percentage of .333. But as someone who picked the Blue Jays to win the World Series this year, it's been a shock. You know, as someone who watched, as you guys did, how dominant that offense was at the end of last season, it's been a shock to see them struggle this badly this year. What are they, 25th in runs so far this year? You know, up and down the lineup, guys are having individual struggles. I think some of it is individual. If you look at, for example, Vladimir Guerrero's chase rate, it has jumped up significantly. You know, he swung out of the strike zone about 28% last year. That's up to 36% this year. And it's not a surprise that opposing hitters are trying to get, or pitchers are trying to get him out on pitches out of the zone because of how great he is. And, you know, as Barry Bonds, you know, during his time in the big leagues established, look, you, if you're a great hitter and they will not throw you a strike, you got to take the walks. And that's his adjustment. But I also think, I mean, let's face it, some of the bets by the front office, they just haven't worked out. When you're talking about, you know, Matt Chapman effectively replacing Marcus Semien in the infield, for him to be as poor as he has been so far offensively has been a huge disappointment. Bo Bichette with a slow start, Teoscar Hernandez with the injury. I mean, up and down a lineup, it's a bad mix. And you know, my colleague Paul Imbecides generated some numbers which show that the Blue Jays, because they're so right-handed dominant in their lineup, they're on an historically high rate of unfavorable pitching matchups. So in other words, right-handed hitters against right-handed pitchers or left-handed hitters against left-handed pitchers. And that's roster construction, you know, that they went into this year saying, you know what, we know we're really right-handed. We'll figure out a way to do that to make it work. And so far it hasn't.
Well, I know you mentioned Matt Chapman. I think Blue Jay fans would still have Matt Chapman considering his struggles versus Marcus Semien's struggles, which is monumental right now. The guy doesn't even have a home run, and we're 40 games into the season. And I feel bad for Marcus Semien because he was so great last year. But considering the things you mentioned, and last week you made headlines on our show, at least, when you you know, teased us with a potential Juan Soto connection with the Blue Jays, but with their struggles and the what you just mentioned about their roster construction, are you hearing any rumblings of change that could potentially happen with the Toronto Blue Jays?
Well, and let's face it, we're in that season. You know, I talked to a general manager of a team, not the Blue Jays, yesterday, who said, you know, you get about a third of the way into the season, and then you have to take an honest assessment of where you are. You know, I made phone calls yesterday trying to get some answers on that you know, from Toronto folks, and what I got was not return phone calls from Blue Jays people, but people around the team, and they are wondering the same thing. You know, will there be some sort of a change in the coaching staff? Will there be some sort of a shakeup there? You know, Brian Cashman, the general manager of the Yankees, does not believe in in-season changes. He just thinks, look, you go in, you do all the planning in the offseason, you have your people that you invest in, that you believe in, and you stick with them. And if you veer from that, then it sends a message you don't necessarily like. There are other executives who are very different in that regard. You know, their feeling is, if we identify a problem, let's go address it. We saw the Kansas City Royals last week fire their hitting coach. I think is one source, recently had a conversation with a Toronto executive, said to me, look, at some point there needs to be change. And whether that's a change in the lineup, you know, to get more left-handed, because let's face it, Raimel Tapia has been a huge disappointment so far. Four extra base hits and 127 at bats. Something, you need to do something, because you just can't keep running out the same group for, you know, day after day after day. And getting, you know, ugly results. And they certainly have been. Nobody would have guessed that their offense would struggle for runs in the way they have so far this year.
Our guest is ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney here on First Up. And you mentioned the Yankees, Buster. Amazing start to the season. We know what Aaron Judge has been doing. Probably the AL MVP at this point in time, but a lot of injuries creeping up. LeMahieu goes down. Aroldis Chapman goes down. Giancarlo Stanton goes down. And all of a sudden,
the Donaldson situation.
Yeah, the Donaldson situation's not ideal either. A lot of bad omens circulating with the New York Yankees right now.
You know, that's the one saving grace at this moment, I think, for the Blue Jays with their slow start, is it's not too late. You know, they're seven games out in the American League East, and the Yankee team, while it's, you know, on pace to win 110 games, they've got all kinds of issues. You know, the bullpen, which has been so dominant for them this year, the other day they lost Chad Green, who has been just the absolute, you know, steady metronome for that bullpen group for years. He needs Tommy John surgery. Luis Gil, who's one of their top young minor league arms, has had some, you know, a few starts in the big leagues. He needed Tommy John surgery. He's out. Aroldis Chapman clearly has lost his mojo. Runs allowed in five straight games. He's been ejected, I think, from the closer role. Even after he comes back, they'll probably, mix and match with him. So they've got some shakeup going on in their bullpen, which has been steady for them. And it's interesting when Joey Gallo certainly has not been good for them, but when he went out with a COVID-19 issue, all of a sudden, and that you saw how short their lineup is, all of a sudden you're thinking, man, Aaron Judge has to like prop up this whole group. It's pretty thin. And the Donaldson situation, with the suspension and being out, COVID-19 related issue, that hurts as well, because it seemed like he was starting to turn the corner offensively.
Buster, when you look at the Major League Baseball standings right now, obviously, you see teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers having great seasons, and, the Houston Astros have been a surprise, but are you happy to see that the LA Angels, who the Blue Jays play next after a day off today, are finally relevant in Major League Baseball?
Oh, completely, because it does look like we're finally going to get, I think, what anybody, any real baseball fan has been dreaming about, and that is Mike Trout playing in October. That's what it looks like. They're 27-17 so far, game behind the Astros in the American League West, and they have that great core of talent. I was talking with someone yesterday who was asking the question, are Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout the best 1-2 punch in baseball now, and where would they rank in baseball history in terms of entertainment value? I don't know if they're top, because statistically you can make an argument that Mike Trout's start of his career is the best ever. He's probably going to end his career considered to be the greatest player of all time, and Shohei Ohtani is doing stuff we've never seen before. He won the MVP last year. He hasn't been nearly as good so far this year, but he's been pretty good. And it feels like he's going to, turn it around. And we know that, their front office, given how well they're playing, if they have a chance to make the playoffs for only the second time in Trout's career, they'll do what they can. Mike Trout has not played in a winning postseason game in his career. Think about that.
Wow. That's crazy.
I think he's played, four postseason games, Trout, which is unbelievable.
Three,
to think
I
about.
Think.
Was it three? Yeah, that's yeah. Incredible.
And they were swept by the Orioles.
It's unbelievable. Swept by the Orioles. Wow.
One of the greatest players of all time already, but he's not even 30.
Can you imagine if his career ended today on his resume would say, playoff baseball swept by the Orioles?
Yeah, maybe they would keep him at a Cooperstown for that. They would pull the old Bonds and the Clemens situation with Mike Trout just for that alone. Quickly, Buster, we have about 30 seconds. Probably not enough time for you to really delve deep. You know what? We'll give you a minute here. Give us your thoughts on the Josh Donaldson, Tim Anderson situation from this weekend.
Yeah, I thought Major League Baseball blew it. I thought Rob Manfred blew it. Step up and be a leader.
Surprise.
They should have given him right. They should have given him more than one game. All you have to do is look at it from the perspective of Tim Anderson, right? He's playing a baseball game on Saturday, and by Sunday night, because of what Josh Donaldson did, and he said, this is something that Tim and I joked about where I call him Jackie. It's pretty clear, while he may have been saying it, as far as Tim Anderson was concerned, it wasn't a joke, the last 4 years. And so by Sunday night, I heard from White Sox people that after this all happened on Saturday, Tim Anderson had to address it with media. He sat out the first game of the doubleheader on Sunday. Sunday night, he's got fans chanting Jackie at him. That word weaponized for him. Think about that. And everywhere he's going to play, not only this year, but the rest of his career, every time he goes to New York, they're going to be idiots who chant that at him. And you know what? That's just the fact that, Josh and I, whatever his intent is, the fact that he touched that off, he should get more than one game.
Well said, Buster. I think you're spot on, as per usual. And as always, we appreciate you doing this for us. Really looking forward to our conversation next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That is ESPN MLB Insider Buster Olney. And I don't know if I would gain more or less optimism surrounding the Toronto Blue Jays following what Buster had to say, but he's as plugged in as anyone. So when he says that, people around baseball wondering what the Jays could do, perhaps with their coaching staff, perhaps some kind of trade, we should absolutely listen to what Buster has to say. You know what's another thing you should listen to, Carlo? My Best Bets, brought to you by FanDuel. They're coming your way next. What a return it was for Sergeant Spread. Was out in the Middle East taking care of business, and the Sarge has returned to Canada on behalf of FanDuel. And today's Best Bets, brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 3 for 3 did the Sarge go yesterday. Let's follow it up with another 3-spot today. Kyle Lowry, over 4.5 assists. I think this is a must play, assuming Lowry gets 30 minutes, which he should get in a home game. A 1.5-point spread against the Boston Celtics. I think should be a close game down to the wire, and Lowry will play big minutes and rack up at least 5 dimes. Now we look to the diamond. The Atlanta Braves strike out a ton. Zach Wheeler had a bunch of Ks against them, and we saw yesterday Kyle Gibson had a bunch of Ks against them. So let's look at Ranger Suarez of the Phillies. His strikeout prop is 4.5. We're taking the over at plus money. That's an easy one there. And finally, the under of 5.5 Ks for Christian Javier of the Houston Astros. He's been under that number consistently. Cleveland, their opposition tonight, does not strike out much. Love the under 5.5 strikeouts for Javier tonight. And yes, I have devolved into straight degeneracy. Strikeout props, the focus of our Best Bets, brought to you by FanDuel. I love it, Coco. And there is no discrimination as far as how you make the money. You could bet on St. Louis to beat Colorado or on Christian Javier. It looks the same on in your bank account, I should say. So, well, hey, what do you got?
It gives you a different reason to what to pay attention to the game, right? If you're not looking for the total or the result, you find different ways to enjoy, you know, whatever it is that you enjoy doing when you're sprinkling some money on the game.
Well said.
So,
well said. And there's, yeah. You know, like I just sit on my couch and refresh the score app and TSN.ca.
you gotta get your double TV screen set up, man. What are you waiting for?
I can't watch Christian Javier pitch as much as it pains me. I just look for the green check mark at the end of the day on the FanDuel app. Today's Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
Dang.
Saw Brian Hayes made his picks on Overdrive last night. I don't know if he can keep up with the Sarge. That's
no,
gonna be
he had Carolina pass. Last night, which was a horrible pick.
Come on, Hazy B. Amazing horrible. Golfer, Brian Hayes. Not the most astute of wagerers. We do have a giveaway on
sure
Saturday.
Sure do.
Toronto FC playing at home at BMO Field against the Chicago Fire. Take TFC. Oh, I have no idea. I won't even pretend to make any wagers on that. But we do have your chance to win a pair of tickets to catch all the action. Call 416-870-1050 now. Be the fourth caller through and win a pair of tickets. That's 416-870-1050. You'll speak to 20 fingers when you call through. Always an enthralling
That's the real winner in this giveaway. It's not yes. The tickets. It's the fact you get to talk to the great 20
the man,
fingers.
The legend. And he's selling himself short once again. We're done for today. I'm Aaron Korolnik. That's Carlo Colaiacovo. Thanks to Arad. Thanks to 20 Fingers, all of our great guests, save Dave Naylor, who bailed on us 10 minutes before he was supposed to come on. But we love the nail gun, nonetheless. We'll be back tomorrow, bright and early, at 6 a.m., Coco.
Ciao.
This hour of First Up, powered by Manscaped.